It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, just how much bad news versus good news should there be on the week that is supposed to be the spike? The apex, the peak of the coronavirus. Continued exclusive coverage on Kevin McCullough Radio, but maybe with a slant you are not expecting. Stay with us.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
And he is playing the role
as well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
The ICU admissions are down and the daily intubations are down. Those are all good signs. And again, would suggest a possible flattening of the curve.
Say what? What did Andrew Cuomo say? A possible flattening of the curve? In his press conference today, he actually said that for 2 days in a row, the rates have been flat. Welcome into a Monday, Kevin McCullough. I don't know how your weekend went. For me, the weekend is becoming very, very difficult because I don't have the same outlet that I do during the week. I think some of my own therapy for what we are dealing with coronavirus is the opportunity to bring you the news that I can find that has a degree of hope to it. And that's why I've tentatively titled my column in the short term, of which I'll be contributing a lot more to in the next couple of days, Dispatches of Hope. Friends, the news has been repetitively bad for so long. And let me give you insight here. So in our household, when this started 3 weeks ago, we had enough toilet paper and paper towels in the house. And we kind of found ourselves sitting around the dinner table going, why are people hoarding toilet paper and paper towels? And then we tried to buy some over the last 3 weeks. Anytime we were out, anytime we made the essential run. And have had a hard time finding what is necessary to keep even a minimal reserve stash stocked. And it's not that that in and of itself is a huge, dashing of hopes or anything. It's that on top of the drip, drip, drip of this is never going to be any different. And if you stay on social media at all during this time, you're getting wild extremes on both end of this that I think are unhelpful. You get people that are like, oh, it's nothing at all, and we should just be out, gallivanting around. I don't believe that. I do believe there's a serious threat to what we are dealing with. I realize there were more people put into the hospital on Saturday for coronavirus than have ever had a single one-day flu hospitalization rate in the history of New York. I can see the numbers. I can compare those. But I'm bothered by some scenarios. I'm bothered by the fact that while our businesses have suffered and government programs have been less than satisfying from unemployment to whatever, I've been bothered by the fact that cable news just delights in presenting the darkest and most doom-filled headlines possible. And I think on some level, there may be political motivation to do that. I think on just the other level, that's just the game that they're in right now. If we can't make you feel more panicked than you felt yesterday, then we're not doing our job. I think that's how some network television directors are thinking these days. The cynical sides in all of us believe much of this because we don't trust our elected leaders. And to be candid, they haven't disappointed. Nancy Pelosi riding in on her horse from California to add 1,400 pages of total bogus spending to the stimulus package. Andrew Cuomo blaming President Trump for New York State not being prepared. The criticism of the president is ad nauseum, lengthy through every media channel that you can find. even though the American people largely don't see him that way. But we've been let down by our elected leaders. In addition to this, there are things that make our brains go weird. Frontline physicians are using therapies. They're having successes, and they publish their results, and they do interviews, and they publish their findings, and then they are talked down to and chided by a physician, Mr. Fauci, who hasn't been in active practice in years, and the whole academic class that kind of props him up, who would prefer to theorize about why something might not work as opposed to seeing if it actually is. We're in a war, people. We're trying to win. If people are in serious shape, give them the medicine. We see the numbers of infections and deaths on our screens every day go up. If you've noticed this, CNN, MSNBC, even Fox, they've got the box inset. Here's the number of global infections. Here's the number of deaths. You know, the same John Hopkins dashboard that produces those numbers that they're all attached into and is just automatically through an algorithm updating itself on a regular basis. Did you know they make a third category of numbers that are not on any of those screens? Do you know there's a stat that is on the Johns Hopkins dashboard that is connected to the Drudge Report and CNN.com and the AP and everybody else, and they're not putting that number on the screen? Do you know what that number is? The number of people recovering. Why don't they do that? Is it too good to say that there might be some good news out there? Well, forget that. At this microphone, at my column, on my Twitter feed, we are going to be a nonstop channel of the news that is bringing hope to the situation, because I can find the other stuff any day of the week. So let me tell you some good things that happened this weekend. Saturday was a bad day. New York recorded 630 deaths. New Jersey recorded 200. They're the two most populous states, two biggest hotspots right now for COVID-19. But did you know that for Sunday, in both of those states, they marked noted decreases for the first time in deaths since the outbreak? New York had 36 less deaths on Sunday. New Jersey went from 200 to 72. More than a 50% drop in deaths. Globally, deaths are on a downward trend in places like Spain, where they have recorded 4 days in a row of diminishing death numbers. I don't hear this being reported anywhere. I don't see anybody doing a 60 minutes piece on it. Let's talk about infections. In Austria and very hard hit Italy and Spain, they saw numbers go down over the last day. And in all three of those, they have been dwindling for a little while. Again, where is this, and why are they going down? Did you know that they authorized aggressive treatment of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin about the same time we started the clinical trials in New York, and now they are seeing mass reductions in new infections being reported? So downward trends in deaths, downward trends in new infections. What about hospitalizations? Mr. Cuomo, most of his press conference is spent talking about the resources that he doesn't have. But in New York, for the first time since the outbreak yesterday, the number of new hospitalizations not only dropped, it dropped dramatically by nearly 50%. They had 1,000-plus new hospitalizations on Saturday. They had a little over 500 on Sunday. And by the way, this leads me to my next thing. The projections are not keeping up. The University of Washington's IHME website is the place where all the smart people, you know, Dr. Fauci and all of his class, that keep referring to why this is going to be as bad as it's going to be. Did you know that for the last 3 days, they're effectively running thousands of people behind both the worst and average and best case scenarios? They've been tracking the number of beds needed. New York's coming way behind on that. There's a lot of things that are just not being noted. There's almost no attention being given to the fact that multiple doctors are now coming forward, frontline physicians talking about how effective the therapeutic treatment of hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin is. And by the way, most of the doctors in the U.S. only got to start using it a week ago today, because that's when the FDA approved it. on a broad scale for everyone to use under the emergency use authorization. We're 7 days from that. We're already starting to see some results. Even weird governors that were threatening fines for using it have actually begged the federal government to send them more. And here's the other thing, friends. We're at 9,000 plus deaths today. Here's that number that nobody's publishing. Same day, 17,582 recoveries. You want to find the hope-filled news? Keep coming back to Kevin McCullough Radio. We're going to give it to you. Kevin McCullough, stay with us.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Some turnpike troubles in New Jersey on the southbound Western Spur. As you go south of 15W, two lanes are knocked out with construction work. It's an extra couple minutes of travel time as a result. So you come south on 95 away from the GW Bridge, grab that Eastern Spur to keep yourself moving. 20-minute travel time both ways on Route 1 between 130 and Route 9 in Woodbridge. Parkway, a 30-minute travel time both ways, Route 3 in Clifton, right down towards the Raritan Toll Plaza. Across the Hudson River, Lincoln Tunnel, Holland Tunnel, George Washington Bridge, all in good shape into and out of the city. You're trying to get to the outbound GW Bridge, a 7-minute travel time on the northbound side of the West Side Highway from 57th Street right up to the GW Bridge. FDR northbound from the Brooklyn Bridge up to the GW Bridge, that's a 20-minute travel time. Cross Bronx, 10 minutes westbound from the Bruckner to the GW Bridge, and the Deegan, a 4-minute travel time from the Triborough up to the Cross Bronx. On the Bruckner westbound coming into the Bronx River Parkway, looks like a crash being reported. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker, AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, you may have questions about what the government stimulus, how it affects small business, how it affects you and your family, how to maybe even pay those workers that had been working for you until the coronavirus hit and debilitated so much of our economy. Well, Jonathan Donenfeld is back with us, jldtax.com, for more information. And Jonathan, I want to know, since the government announced a week ago last Friday, how has the Paycheck Protection Act gone, and what kind of help are people finding?
Sure. So it's an amazing program, Kevin, because you can get a loan based on wages paid and based on self-employment income. So even if you don't have payroll, you're just a sole proprietor or you're self-employed, you can get a loan that can be that you don't have to pay back based on your self-employment income.
Now, why do they still call it a loan if it's forgivable?
So, well, it's a loan. What you need to do is you need to use that money on payroll, rent, utilities, or paying yourself in some cases. And as long as you do that, then it's forgiven. So if you didn't do that, if you didn't use the money, then it becomes a two-year loan at 1%.
Gotcha. Well, in either case, it is a great benefit to people that are struggling right now. And friends, I want you to know I've personally recommended multiple small business owners already to call Jonathan and talk to his team. You can call them. They're here locally. They are ready to help New Jersey and New York people seeking assistance right now. And that number is 201-600. 201-604-2432. It's not a complicated process, and they can help you starting right now. Get your Paycheck Protection Act loan that is forgivable when you call and get the process started with JLD Tax. That's 201-604-2432.
201-604-2432. Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or radio.com. Jay Sekulow believes we'll see another stimulus bill.
I think that is a brilliant idea. It should receive wide bipartisan support. The infrastructure in the United States has been something that three or four administrations in a row have talked about. Number one, you're going to put a lot of people to work. Number two, you're going to improve our infrastructure. Number three, it's a historic time to do it with interest rates being that low. So I agree with the president. I think this is the right move. I think there is going to be probably need for a phase four of this.
Jay Sekulow live. Weeknights at 6, right before Larry Elder at 7, on AM 970, The Answer. AM 970, The Answer. Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Would you also weigh in on this issue of hydroxychloroquine? What do you think about this, and what is the medical evidence?
That question.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe
15,
the doctor.
15 times. You don't have to ask
He's your medical expert, correct?
He's answered that question 15 times.
All right. The interesting things that go on at the White House press briefing every day, reporters asking questions, the president answering them, sometimes not answering them the way they want to be answered. But nonetheless, that is kind of the daily now event, a couple of hours in the afternoon each day. Joining me now to discuss some of the challenges that we are faced with in this massive crisis is someone who's been very busy through all of it. He is the director for the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Robert Redfield, and he joins us at Kevin McCullough Radio. Dr. Redfield, thank you for being here. Where we sit now at some 21 plus days into the shelter at home strategy, from where you sit at the director's desk at the CDC, what are our most immediate challenges that we are facing this minute in terms of defeating coronavirus?
Well, that's a great question, Kevin. I think the most important thing to emphasize is that we are not defenseless against this virus. We have one of the most powerful weapons that we'll ever have against this virus in our hands right now. And that is the social distancing strategy. This virus has a big weakness. It can't swim 7 feet. So if we can keep the social distancing in the American public, we can prevent this virus from going from human to human. And so that coronavirus 30-day guidelines that we put out to slow the spread really is designed. And it's not just a piece of paper. I want people to understand it's a powerful weapon. And I want to thank those that have embraced it with vigor. And I would like, as you said, now, what's the most important thing? Those people that have sort of done it, sort of not done it, I would ask for all of America to truly embrace those guidelines from now to the end of the month.
Well, and I think that at least if it looks anywhere like where we are at in the McCullough household, that is being followed. On practice, doctor, there's no more than one of the McCullough family members that leave the house. We usually do it for about one trip per day. And if that is, in fact, necessary, we're going somewhere like the grocery store to pick up essentials, etc. And I got to say, I hadn't been out for a couple of days and I was out yesterday, and I know that masks had been discussed a lot. It now appears the majority of the people, whereas a couple of weeks ago when I would be in the store, maybe 10% or maybe less than that would have masks on. As of yesterday, it seemed everyone that I was observing were wearing masks and gloves. Is that helping accomplish what you were hoping it will?
Well, we really have asked the American public to look at, you know, when they have to go out where they may not be able to maintain social distancing, to really make, and it can be a homemade face covering. We do want to reserve the N95s and the surgical masks for our healthcare providers that are doing heroic work.
Right.
The idea behind this, Kevin, is that what has changed is we've now learned over the last 4 or 6 weeks pretty good data that a number of people that are actually have coronavirus actually don't have symptoms and actually are shedding the virus. And those of us who do get symptoms are actually shedding the virus for up to several days before we get symptoms. So we're asking people, particularly in areas of high community transmission, to actually make one of these face coverings to actually protect other people as if they may be, in a sense, asymptomatically infected. It's really not so much to protect yourself from getting infected, but we do know there's good evidence that when you wear a cloth covering, you can decrease substantially the viral particles that are coming out of your speech or your sneeze or your cough.
Right. Well, and I appreciate the diligence, at least in my own community, where it seems like people are observing both the social distancing and the idea to wear a mask. And I see increasingly more people wearing gloves. I guess the idea that the virus could be on solid surfaces and contact with the skin and then with the face is still relevant. So the gloves, good idea?
Well, I think there's no doubt that this virus can survive on surfaces, you know, longer than I think some people would think, some circumstances, in, you know, 24 to 48 hours. Whether that nucleic acid we detect is infectious or not, there's still some debate.
Right.
And again, gloves, I think the best thing is to wash your hands. You know, you can wear gloves, and that's fine, but then you don't want to rub the gloves in your face. So we come back and just really remind people that if they just wash their hands, keep their hands from the face. The way this virus is really entering the body, it's entering in through your oral nasal pharyngeal passages. So that's the big thing. If it reminds people not to touch their face by wearing gloves and they go home and take off the gloves, then that's fine. But if people who have gloves then forget to wash their hands, well, we want people to wash their hands too.
Sure. I appreciate that. Director of the CDC Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Redfield, thank you so much for your time today. And we appreciate you for all that you're doing to help get America through this crisis.
Well, thank you, and thank you and your family for taking the guidelines to heart and showing others, being the examples for others.
Absolutely. Dr. Redfield, thank you. All right, we continue on our search to bring you the very latest on what's going on as it relates to the managing of this corona crisis, and we've got a lot straight ahead. It's Kevin McCullough Radio, and we hope that you are here with us for the full time each day. Yet to take a look at the money picture for this Monday. David Fisher, up yet before the hour's done. And don't forget, everything we do is also on podcast. You can go to SoundCloud.com or iTunes and just search Kevin McCullough Radio. We are trying to be the source of good news in this very discouraging time. Don't go away. Kevin McCullough Radio. Sean, I'm so glad that you listen to the show and that you enjoy what we do on 970. Tell me about your experience with Landmark Capital.
You know, I was very fortunate to have discovered David through your show.
Did you feel pressure in working with Landmark?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I had said to him, let me take a chance to do some research on this. And he was very confident that the information that he was giving me was verifiable. And I could feel that over the phone.
Did you get your medals in a timely manner?
I did indeed.
Did you get what you ordered?
Yes, I did.
How would you rate the experience overall from 1 to 10, 10 being high?
10, straight across the board.
Call this number, 844-604-2575. Tell them you heard Kevin McCullough talking about it. Tell them you heard Sean on Kevin McCullough's broadcast, and ask for the resources, ask for the information. Get yourself educated and get yourself protected as we go forward. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
Okay, Marcus commercial, take one.
With a Marcus by Goldman Sachs no penalty CD. Wait, there's a typo. A no penalty CD? That can't be right.
No, that's right. No penalties. All right, take two.
With a Marcus by Goldman Sachs no penalty CD, you get a fixed rate of 1.7%. 1.7%?
Let's just get through the script, okay? Take three.
With a Marcus by Goldman Sachs no penalty CD, you get a fixed rate of 1.7% on your money. There are no penalties if you withdraw your balance early. Come on, man. Even if you withdraw your balance early?
Look, if you're not going to read the script, I could just do it myself.
Okay, okay. With a Marcus by Goldman Sachs no penalty CD, you get a fixed rate of 1.7% for 7 months on your money. There are no penalties if you withdraw your balance early and you keep the interest you earned. Wow, really?
Yes.
Sign up for a no-penalty CD today. You can money with Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Learn more at Marcus.com.
$500 minimum balance required to earn stated annual percentage yield, which may change before account is funded. May withdraw full balance beginning 7 days after funding. Rates as of March 20th, 2020. Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC.
Take AM 970 The Answer anywhere you go with our mobile app. Get in on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have sunshine, 64 degrees on this Monday evening. What's going on? We have the answer. Well, Governor Cuomo said that although there are now 4,758 deaths in New York State, the rate of deaths has, quote, been effectively flat for 2 days. There are more than 130,000 positive cases in New York State, but that rate of hospital admissions, ICU, and intubations has dipped slightly. The governor also announced that New York pause would continue through April 29th. Governor Phil Murphy says social distancing measures appear to be working as the coronavirus growth curve may be flattening in New Jersey. Murphy adds that although the peak number of patients could still be a week away, the hospitalization rate is slowing somewhat. The governor explains that with the steps taken to boost hospital capacity, the models indicate the healthcare system can make it through the crisis provided social distancing continues. Still, officials are tracking several possible hotspots and maneuvering medical supplies around the state as a result. And the first field hospital in New Jersey opened today to help relieve hospitals that are overcrowded with coronavirus patients. The Meadowlands Expo Center in Sea Caucus has 250 beds, but Governor Murphy says that may not be enough. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and State Police built the Sea Caucus Field Hospital, which is expected to take non-coronavirus patients. Three more field hospitals are expected to be built in the Garden State. Meanwhile, the governor tweeted last night that the federal government is sending 500 additional ventilators to New Jersey. He says that is still the number one need. Taking a look at the traffic in New Jersey, Turnpike southbound Western Spur coming down to 15W construction. Grab the Eastern Spur to save yourself 5 minutes. Not a bad ride up or down the parkway. Across the Hudson, we're doing okay. Lincoln-Holland GW Bridge in both directions. Partly cloudy skies tonight with an overnight low of 47. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 64. Morning showers likely on Wednesday with a high of 62. Showers likely on Thursday with a high of 58. Sunshine as we wrap up the business week on Friday, high 53. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at AM970TheAnswer.com. Obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
And I want to encourage everyone to keep following our guidelines on slowing the spread. Sustaining this war effort is, and that's what it is a war effort, is the patriotic duty of every citizen. While we may be more physically distant for a time, we're closer together in the heart and in the spirit.
That's the president, of course, calling on the American people to continue to do what they've done. We just spoke in the last segment with the CDC director, Dr. Redfield, and he's so appreciative of the way Americans have embraced this. I'm curious what my next guest thinks about how this is all playing out. Dr. Gina Loudon is a human behavioralist. She has studied how humans interact with each other for much of her adult life. And Dr. Gina, I think one of the things that, you know, I've struggled with and personally kind of coming to the realization of is that I'm just not going to be allowed to interact with my friends on the way that I had been for some time yet. But knowing what the president just said there, that it is what is helping us, in Governor Cuomo's words, flatten the curve today, there's little glimmers of hope that we're doing what we need to do.
Well, there are glimmers of hope that we're doing what we need to do. I don't appreciate the tone of Cuomo lecturing us like children. I much more appreciate the tone of our president, who entrusts us as parents. We know that even with children, and I don't appreciate, again, being treated like children, but even with children, when you treat them like children who are expected to behave in good ways, you get a lot better performance out of children. You and I know this as parents.
Yeah.
Than when you talk to them like you expect them to misbehave. When you talk to an entire society like a society of degenerates, you can expect them to behave like degenerates, like criminals. When you talk to a society like a society that you expect to behave and treat one another respectfully and lovingly, that's what you get, and by and large. And so I much prefer in a civilized society that we speak to each other respectfully, yeah, like that, not like a bunch of children.
Well, and let's piggyback on that, because last week Governor Huckabee made the observation on this show that that's exactly what the president's plan has been. And this is what he's getting kind of, bombed for today via media. The people are saying, oh, he's just told the states they're on their own. Brian Stelter over at CNN. Oh, look at him. He's hands off on the states. Governor Huckabee went through Katrina when President Bush was in office, and he said one of the most frustrating things of that recovery was that he had to argue with the federal government about what he should be doing as the governor of Arkansas instead of what Trump is doing here, which is basically like, what do you need? Here's how we can help. Here's the resources. And then you go and execute that. That's treating the states like they should be treated. No,
100%. And I saw this when I was on the ground in Alabama when I first started my syndicated radio program there, Kevin. And we had to wait for FEMA to do everything. We had no power to do anything on the ground in Alabama. We were literally waiting and at the mercy of the federal government to do anything, because, of course, this was under the Obama administration, and it was terrifying,
right,
to have to wait for the federal government, because the federal government is is one step removed from everything. So the way this President Trump is handling everything, it gives so much power and so much respect to the individual states to handle things on a state-by-state basis. And the bottom line is that local politicians should have a grasp and a feel for what their states need in ways that the feds can't possibly. I am sorry, but let's just call this what it is. This is socialism. The people who are demanding that the feds do this massive takeover and control all the states are the people who advocate for socialism. Yeah. They're the same people who want us to be able to do all of our voting from now on until forever by mail. They're the same people who want everything to be socialized. They're the same people who are going to vote Democrat. They're the same people. I mean, let's not pretend like we don't know what this really is. This is an attempt to use this crisis to deepen the socialism in this country. Let's not pretend like it's anything
else. And what's interesting about that, Dr. Gina, is that as President Trump has responded in a more free market and a federalist way, leaving to the states the decision on how to execute their own recovery plans, you've actually had effectively the opposite be demonstrated. You've seen how dysfunctional government is at trying to do public health, for example. And if we were dependent upon a centralized response plan just for this crisis, the fallout and the deaths would be even more. I love the fact that you've got emergency trials of over 200 different possible vaccines and therapies being pursued, all on different levels, all at different speeds.
What's happening in New York is not the same thing that's happening in Missouri, is not the same thing. One size fits all does not work. And that's exactly why our founders set up the federalist system they did set up. And that's exactly why our very wise president is using that system now. Yeah.
Dr. Gina, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Stay with us. Kevin McCullough Radio rolls on. Check of the markets next. It's the number one question I get. Kev, we hear what's going on with the virus. What do we do to protect ourselves? Friends, I try to make the show about helping you be protected on a variety of fronts, whether it's physical or mental or spiritual, financial or health-wise. And that's why my answer to everyone who says, what's the best thing I can do to boost my immune system to prevent myself from maybe ever getting the coronavirus? Well, you boost that immune system by giving your body what it needs. What my body needs is Balance of Nature, a daily dose of 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables that do everything within their power to keep me healthy, whole, and disease fighting. Friends, you've got to try this for yourself. You owe it to yourself. You want to be well defended against the things we're up against right now. 800-246-8751. Get 35% off and free shipping when you call today. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or going to balanceofnature.com. And use the promo code THEANSWER.
In an era where it's tough to know which news outlet to trust. At a time where it's difficult to find facts, not just opinion. There is an oasis in the news desert. It's the Katz Roundtable. John Catsimatidis, the personification of the American dream, who built a multi-billion-dollar business empire, talks with some of the nation's top newsmakers every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. You won't just hear partisan spin. You'll hear directly from the newsmakers who are shaping the news cycle in the city, the country, and the world. On the Katz Roundtable, you won't just hear about politics. You'll hear about science, business, education, animal rights, and any other topics that you're interested in. Catch the Katz Roundtable every Sunday morning, starting at 8:30, right after Marano in the Morning on AM 970. The Answer. Listen to us online at AM970TheAnswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com. Eric Metaxas is not letting his mayor off easy.
Franklin Graham's organization, Samaritan's Purse, is putting up a field hospital in Central Park. A number of LGBT activist groups are very upset. As a response to this group, Mayor de Blasio said that he would be monitoring what's going on down there. That staggers me.
The Eric Metaxas Show, weeknights at 11 on AM 970. The Answer.
How would you like to get 1 ounce of pure silver absolutely free? This is not a joke.
Right now, if you go to getmysilver.com, Goldco, the premier name in precious metals, will send you a free 1 ounce silver American Eagle coin, and all you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. That's it. No further obligation. This same coin sells for more than $20 online, but you can get one right now for free. Just pay for shipping and handling. Now, there's a limit of one per household, and at this price, you know how long this offer will last. So don't wait. If you want to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle, simply go to getmysilver.com right now. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Don't delay. Go to getmysilver.com. Getmysilver.com. That's getmysilver.com to get your free 1 ounce silver American Eagle. Getmysilver.com.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM970. TheAnswer.com. Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I say is it all, oh, oh, always on my road, oh, I'm still New York. If it's happening in New York or across the globe, learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, as I've been saying throughout the broadcast, you know, there's different areas of what we're dealing with as a nation that we've been covering on the show. And as we started out today, I was able to break down some of those numbers. Those are little glimmers of good news. We're not anywhere near getting out of the real tough part here. But I just feel like we've got to keep at least letting you know when there seems to be good news on the horizon. And I know that my next guest feels the same way. It's one of the reasons why he is so obsessed with helping you make sure that you withstand this onslaught from the strongest position in your portfolio possible. David Fisher is his name. He is the CEO of Landmark Capital, and he rejoins us on our Money Monday. David, we are now starting our fourth week in the coronavirus shelter at home, all out, flatten the curve efforts. Where are we at market-wise? Year-to-date, what's happened? You see like little bubbles up and then more down and so forth. Where do we really stand right now?
Well, the market is disconnecting from the environment. So the market shows gold is up 10.5% leading the charge, but stocks are down. Dow's down 17.5, S&P 14.25. The dollar is up 4.5%. So gold should not be up in this environment. It should be down in relationship to the dollar. But the market that's getting hit the worst is oil, which is going to have effect on the dollar, obviously. But there's some decoupling going on. So we're kind of in a weird environment from a standpoint. The economy is decoupling from the market, which there have always been two different things, but sometimes they've mirrored themselves. So, you know, I said that last week that unemployment would come out at between 4.2 to 4.7%. It came out at 4.4%. So we have and previously it was 3.5%. So unemployment is on the rise. We're not out of the woods at all. In fact, things are probably going to get worse economically speaking. Market-wise, the market is not adjusting to those economics.
Just yet. It's a lagging indicator is what you're saying. Let's talk about the R word and the D word. And a lot of people think Republican or Democrat. No. This is what I've been hearing in financial circles. Will it be a recession or will it be a depression? And again, we're not trying to doomsday anybody, but what's the honest assessment of how badly interrupted the economy has incurred a disruption of?
Well, if you look at what the Google search activities, most people are searching the word depression rather than the recession. So I think it's already been factored in that most people have come to accept by Google search results that we're going to have a recession. If not, we're already in it. But technically, we're not there yet. We're just fundamentally going to be there. Depression, that's a... When you look at the unemployment numbers from what the Fed projected, like I said last week, they're saying 30 to 32%, the Fed, St. Louis Fed, that's depression because it was 24.9%. So we haven't got there yet. Jamie Dimon just came out from his hospital stay and gave the first annual
report, and he's warning of a bad recession, a repeating of a 2008 crisis in his annual letter. So here's some very well-respected, very conservative person saying it's definitely a recession and a deep one, but the depression word is kind of on the side. But there's other economists coming out, like from KPMG, one of the fourth leading accounting firms. Constance Hunter said on the news today, it's way worse than the Great Depression. That's her quote. She said that it's much faster than the depression, and we have more social interaction now than the depression. But she says our debt levels proportionately are much higher now, and in reference to that, trying to get money in the system, millions of applicants have gone to the SBA, the Small Business Loan Association, for $38 billion of applicants. 177 applications have been submitted, but only 100 loans have been distributed. So there's a claw going on, and if we don't get money in the system soon, that will cause more of the D word, depression, rather than the recession.
Yeah, well, and that's something that people are concerned about. So if that is in fact the case, David, we've been talking for the last 3 years about what a bail-in looks like. Is this recession, or even if it becomes a depression, is this the circumstance by which the government might pull the trigger and say, we've got to do the bail-in?
Well, that's my number one concern now, and more than ever in my 26 years of doing this. And certainly we've been talking about the bail-in since it came into place about 7 years ago, and legally about 10 years ago it was initiated through the Dodd-Frank Act. So I'm more concerned now than ever, and here's why. And I know we're going to talk on Wednesday on your program in depth, and I want to go in depth on this. So make sure if you're hearing my voice today, check Kevin Kohler's program out on Wednesday. I'm going to address this in detail. But let me just kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit. So think with me. We're spending like crazy, and budget deficit is going to go from $1 trillion to probably $2 trillion now with all the $2 trillion that we just passed in stimulus. I mean, right. That's maybe it'll be $3 trillion. Who knows? I'm being conservative here. So, and oil has collapsed, and the dollar is, we get revenue from oil being sold internationally because it's based in dollars. But the world and central banks are moving away from, and have been moving away from, wanting to use the dollar in oil contracts. So we're seeing more and more of this. And now this new idea has come to the forefront. Jim Cramer and Larry Kudlow talked about this a little bit, war bonds. So the question is, why are we talking about issuing a war bond? Could it be there's not enough world buying the treasury bill, and there's not enough Americans that can buy treasuries to support the debt structure that's ballooning? That's why the next triggering point in the very near future or at any time could be this bail-in, because it clearly demonstrates, Kevin, that we do not have enough financial debt being bought, and we have to shore that out with some other plan. The plan is war bonds, but they didn't accept a 50-year, 100-year treasury bill, and a war bond might not be much different. So that's where the bail-in could get triggered.
Well, and here's the things, friend. If the bail-in does go, if you've got electronic accounts, they're all vulnerable. The Uncle Sam can just reach in, grab it, put an IOU in its place, and say, sorry about that. If you want to find out how to protect yourself from the bail-in, 844-604-2575. And again, be listening for David and I on Wednesday. David, thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough Radio, my final thought next.
I'm doing it all, the water, the fiber, the exercise, but I still have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back. My doctor said I may have a chronic medical condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C.
Linzess, linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats adults with IBS with constipation. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor and learn more at linzess.com. That's linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Sponsored by Allergan Pharmaceuticals and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hi, it's that time of year again. Don't go to bed another night worrying about your unfiled taxes or letters and calls from the IRS. If you owe $10,000 or more, there is local help available. The IRS has several programs where, with local help from a tax expert at JLD Tax Resolution Group, you may be able to settle your entire IRS debt for up to 85% off the original amount owed, including penalties and interest if you qualify.
This is Jonathan Donenfeld, president of JLD Tax Resolution Group. I'm sure you've heard other offers from national companies, but before you waste time and hard-earned money trying to resolve your IRS issues with a phone call across the country, please call me at 201-479-2572. You can come to my office right here in Jersey City. We will meet in person for a free initial consultation and discuss how I can help you. Don't call an 800 number. Call me at 201-479-2572. I'm right here in Hudson County.
Call Jonathan at JLD Tax Resolution Group at 201-479-2572. That's 201-479-2572. Or visit 201tax.com. That's 201tax.com.
Old videotapes and pictures were not made to stand the test of time. They're at risk of heat, mold, and fire. Well, Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service that can have all your home movies and pictures and videotapes digitally preserved on a thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud. Don't let what happened to us with a box full of videos of Denise happen to you. I love this Legacy Box way, the affordable way to convert old analog media. Get started preserving your past today. Just go to legacybox.com/Mike. You'll get an incredible 40% off your first order. It's a great deal, great offer. Order today to take advantage of this exclusive offer. All you do, I mean, you get back perfectly preserved originals plus digital copies of all your memories on thumb drive, DVD, or the cloud, ready to watch, share, and enjoy. Save your time, save your memories. Go to legacybox.com/Mike. Save 40%. Legacybox.com/Mike.
Jay Sekulow Live is next on AM 970. The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Would you also weigh in on this issue of hydroxychloroquine? What do you think about this, and what is the medical
question?
Yeah. Maybe 15, doctor.
15 times. You don't have to ask.
He's your medical expert, correct?
He's answered that question 15 times.
I don't know what it is about the press and their insistence that they make President Trump look ridiculous when it comes to hydroxychloroquine. That is obviously one of the goals that some in the press corps in the White House have set up for themselves, but they're about to be made to look very foolish. Friends, we started out the show talking to you about some of the good news today, that we've got declining hospitalizations, we had declining deaths, declining new infections, all in the last 24 hours, and the new hospitalizations by 50%. By tomorrow, we may have 3,500 more beds in lower Manhattan to help ease the, as Governor Cuomo called, the relief valve of lower Manhattan. Here's the thing, and this is really rather remarkable. Governors that had banned hydroxychloroquine and the Zithromax or the azithromycin combination cocktail have done a complete reverse face on it. The former governor of Michigan, who very foolishly came out and said she thought she was just going to get the president's goat, and said, "Oh, we're gonna fine doctors that misprescribe it and so forth." Let me bring you up to date, because this is what everybody asks me about nonstop. What's the latest on the New York clinical trials? So they're doing placebo with half the patients, and they're doing the clinical trials. As many as 4,000. Seriously ill coronavirus patients in New York are now being treated with hydroxychloroquine. Andrew Cuomo said healthcare providers in the state would be using that in combination with the azithromycin cocktail. The Albany University Public Health Dean David Holtgrave says time is of the essence, and they have distributed 4,000 dosages, in essence, to 56 hospitals statewide. Patients are involved in a 4 or 10 day regimen. The trials are being done in weeks instead of months, trying to get this fast-tracked as quickly as possible. NYU Langone Medical School is conducting a random trial with a $9.5 million grant from the Gates Foundation. So yay, Bill and Melinda, thank you for that. But there's some really promising stuff taking place. And New York is going to be, as we always are, the ground zero, not only of what's going on bad, but hopefully as these numbers come in on the clinical trials and replicate the other trials that have been done, tests that have been done, studies that have been done. I'm Kevin McCullough. More good news tomorrow. Don't miss it.